Well, this month has been a wonderful month. We have really focused on the new year. We focused on this church. We focused on the new us. And the first thing we do is we fasted. The second thing we did is we begin to focus on what God wants for this church. And the Lord has revealed to us things that He wants. And we've talked about spiritual gifts, our personal life, and also an emphasis on the church. And we've asked, Lord, give us the spiritual gifts that you want us to have for this church. And may we use these gifts for your glory. And it's just been so great and so encouraging to see you guys, and myself included, just take the next step. And so as we do a final part on spiritual gifts, before we get started, I just want to say, I'm so honored and blessed and humbled to see where we are today. But the thing is, we don't want to stop.
No.
We want to keep going to the next level. And so last week we've talked about the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians and how the manifestation gifts, the spiritual gifts that we have in a church service or church setting or as a church, whatever you would like to call it, the importance of it. And so we talked about the text, about Paul and how Paul was was telling the letters to the preachers and to the people in the church how to use these spiritual gifts. You know, today that God gives us these gifts that we have from God are spiritual gifts that we will never want to return back. And so we do things as a team. We do things together. We've been talking about this over and over again because I'm a big fan of repetition and I forget things really quickly. I don't know about you, but I do. And so that's kind of the purpose that I'm trying to do. And as we do this final sermon for February, but also on the spiritual gifts, I just want to encourage you, let's do this as a team. Let's do this together. Let's do this because remember, it is one body of Christ. We build the body of Christ. We show the body of Christ. We glorify the body of Christ. What is your part in the body? And what can God do? What can you do to use the body? I'd like to go into a video clip I'd like to share with you. And before I do, if we could turn these two lights over on this side. Thank you, sir. Because there's a little bit of glare. I want to show you a video of what it takes to be a team. And what I'm going to show this video of is Navy SEALs. Now, this is a little dated, but that's okay. You can deal with me. But this shows the importance of doing things as a team. And as we do things as a team, there's times where it's going to be difficult and hard and a struggle. And we as a church must build. And as we build the body of Christ. So as we watch this video, I want you to keep in mind the importance of doing things together, because when we do not do these things and we do not represent the body of Christ, it can fall apart. And I want you to take special note about halfway through when you see them carrying the logs. And I want you to think about this as you, a member of this team, and what you can do for the body of Christ. Go ahead.
Thank you.
So you saw this video, you saw the purpose of what it takes to do things as a team. I want to focus on a few things that I take out from this video, and I hope you do as well. The first thing is that it's not easy. It's not easy to be a Navy SEAL. Matter of fact, they're set apart from the normal people. You have the boot camp, you have the strenuous things in the military, you have the different branches of the armed forces. But the Navy SEALs, there's few. There's very few. It's very difficult. I've talked to men who have done the Navy SEAL training and those who tried but fell short. And some of the things that they described, they didn't describe them all, but just very vaguely, it was very, very difficult. But one of the things that they focus on in Navy SEAL training is doing things as a team. When the time comes during their training and during their combat, they know so much about each other. They probably know what they're thinking because they do everything together. There's a guy named Marcus Luttrell who is a very well-known person now. You've maybe seen bits and parts of it, but he was in war and he was on a task and he was with his team. And it was an unsuccessful mission and he was captured, and there's a long story, great story about it. But I was working an auction a couple of years ago and he was the speaker. And some things that stuck out to me was how hard it was and how difficult it was, but there was something that really kind of caught my mind. And he said that he is more comfortable with the guy he was with, and he knew this guy more than his own wife. And he said, when I say that to people, a lot of people look at me weird, and they say, "What are you talking about? That's your wife." He said, "I would sit there hours upon hours waiting on that one 10 or 15 second, my job." Well, sometimes we'd have to wait 6 or 8 hours. And he said, we would just sit there by each other and talk. He said it came to a point where he knew what he was thinking. That's how well they worked as a team. So Navy SEALs go through intensive, very hard training. As you saw, they had to do a lot of things. You saw the things underwater and swimming with their arms tied. And, you know, they had mud and dirt all over their faces and their bodies. And they go through strenuous work. And then you got to the part where they're carrying the logs. And what's interesting about that is that if anybody is weak and doesn't do their part, it doesn't work. Each individual has to carry their own part. In order to carry the log, to lift the log, they also have to squat down and pick it up from the ground. You saw how they had to run uphill. And boy, that looked pretty hard, right? And you saw one of those guys that was not doing his part, and he was trying to crawl up to the hill and catch up. Well, you know, in our lives and the church, it's the same. We serve one body, the body of Christ. And can I just tell you that it's not easy? There's times where it's hard. There's times where it's painful. There's times where it's difficult. There's times where we literally need somebody to help us out and build us back up. There's times where we need somebody to carry our part, to help us get over that hill, to help us get over that track, or to help us whenever we have to carry different things. As a church, we have to do the same. Last week we talked about 1 Corinthians 12, where we have the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, the gifts of healing, miraculous powers, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and discernment whether that's from God or not. These are spiritual gifts that you and I can possess only through God. It's a gift from God. We have to do it humbly. And so we've looked at 1 Corinthians 12, and we looked at other verses, and we'll get to those. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And this is what Paul is talking about. And you guys probably have seen this verse, maybe not. Especially when it gets to verse 4. You hear this a lot at weddings. But the context of this scripture is talking about the spiritual gifts. So let's read the 1 Corinthians 13 and continue this part as God gives us these spiritual gifts and as we're learning and building on these. So we looked at 1 Corinthians 12 and he went down the list of spiritual gifts. And he says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, and is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's finish this out. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. We'll stop there. So a lot of people take that verse and they put it in a wedding. They take out the tongues part, but they put the part in about love. But the love that he's talking about is agape love. And agape love is different than the love that we're talking about in weddings. That's phileo love. And somebody's saying, what are you talking about, man? I don't know what you're saying. This is what I'm trying to say. This type of love involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. It is distinguished from the other types of love. And agape love is goodwill, benevolence, and willful delight in the object of love. We have to have love whenever we have these spiritual gifts. We have to show that the body of Christ is this love. This love that we have and can share with everyone must be in our lives in order to properly use our spiritual gifts. We can't do it pridefully. We can't, like Paul said, make a bunch of noise. I don't have any cymbals with me, but you know the cymbals. Make all these noises. I used to do it in band in high school, Jonathan too. Of course, we were doing it to try to be funny. But they're annoying. Anybody ever done that? Or is you're sitting there, somebody's sleeping, and you go up and shh. Well, we used to do that. It's not very nice. But anyway, they make a lot of noise. And Paul's saying, don't do that. Don't do these things. Don't try to put the attention on you. When you have a spiritual gift, do it in love, but do it humbly. Do not be proud of it. Do not talk about it. Maybe God gives you a spiritual gift. Don't put it on your Twitter or Facebook and, you know, hey, look at me. You get what I'm saying? Don't make it out there. Don't be humble about it. We must have love in these spiritual gifts. And he says that these things will pass away. And a lot of people say, well, he's talking about these spiritual gifts. We don't need them anymore, right? Because, well, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but apparently they had died off with the apostles. But we don't believe that. We believe that God still gives us these spiritual gifts. And when completeness, meaning when there's no more mistakes, do we still have mistakes in the church and in the world? Yeah, I think so. Comes, then they will cease. Can I tell you, I personally believe that we need these spiritual gifts now more than ever?
Yes.
How about discernment? My goodness, there's a lot of things out there that are not of God, and people think they're of God. People say things, and you go, is that what the Bible says? There's a lot of hurting people that need someone who has a spiritual gift and use that and bring them back. There's a lot of corruptness and there's a lot of deceitfulness that the enemy puts in the hearts of people. And many of them think that it's okay to do this or it's okay to do that. Many just don't believe, or they believe in something else or something that's wrong. We need these spiritual gifts now. But we have to do this in love, in humbleness, and for the glory of God. So as we look at these gifts, and I'm going to put up Jonathan's going to put up a slide of all the spiritual gifts we have talked about. We've looked at Romans 12. We looked at 1 Corinthians 12. We've looked at Ephesians 4. You know, 1 Peter says these things as well. We have to build these things up. Maybe you have faith. Maybe it's a prophetic word or prophecy. Maybe you have wisdom. Maybe you have service. Maybe administration. You may be a successful businessman and God has granted you and give you the gift of finances. Maybe it's service, just serving in the church, whatever it may be. Maybe it's music. Maybe it's helping people outside of the church, evangelism. Maybe it's wisdom. You know, a lot of times I like to go to people who have just a lot of wisdom. It doesn't just have to be someone who speaks in tongues or gives interpretation. It doesn't have to be someone who is just prophetic. All of these gifts, or as Paul described, members, are the body of Christ. I'm looking at a lot of wonderful men and women who have spiritual gifts in this church right now. And you know, we can have more than one. So you may have a spiritual gift now, and you may have thought this month, well, I already know I have one of these gifts, so, you know, I'm good. Let me think about lunch. No. You can strive to have more spiritual gifts. I want you just for a second to take a moment and look at all these gifts. Some of you may have to turn your heads, but that's okay. You see all of these gifts in this. And my question is, what is your gift? This final sermon that we've talked about the church, about the body of Christ, about where we want to be in the church, to be a member. You know, there's a lot of members in the body. And I described last week about my grandfather who was missing his arm from World War II and how throughout his life he was off balance. He had a lot of pain. And he was at a disadvantage after that. And people always noticed those things. But something else I always noticed is that he was off balance, especially later on in his life. And he was always a fall risk because there was no weight on this side. And so it was a constant thing. Did you know if God gives you this gift, we don't want the body to be like that in this church. Now make no mistake, God can use anybody. He can use somebody else. Don't think that he can just use you. But what I'm trying to get to you guys and challenge you guys and encourage you guys with is that the body of Christ needs to be used today in the church. God wants to use you. And all you have to do is just step out in faith and use your gift and be a part of one of these for the body of Christ. So on your bulletin, you can fill these in. And you're thinking, okay, I get it now. I want to be a part of this. Well, number one, you have to join the body of Christ. You have to join. It's only through Jesus Christ that you can join the body of Christ. You have to join the body. That's number one. Number two, you have to learn the body. You have to learn who God is. You have to learn what God is saying to you. You have to learn, is this God or is this flesh, or is this not God at all? You have to know these things. Number three, you have to build the body. Build the body. This is a constant process. Just like a weightlifter comes in and he starts building and you see him, you know, you see some of those guys, they're squatting and there's so much weight that the bar's bending. What can I tell you? He wasn't there when he first started lifting weights. Okay? He got to that point. Well, as followers in Christ, we always have to build the body of Christ in our lives. And that is through the Word. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Yes. Do you know God's voice? And when you have these things, you have to use the body. That's number four. Use the body. Apply it. It's okay. And you know, guess what? You may start using your spiritual gift and you make a mistake. It's okay. It's called being human. It's called developing the process. It's called building it up and using your gift and asking God, reveal these things to me, Lord. Help me do these things. And we as a church will help and build up as one. So number one, join. Number two, learn. Number three, build. Number four, use. And then this final sermon on this subject, and who knows, we may go back to it, but I just want to encourage you that this year needs to be the year for the body of Christ to be built in this church. I'm going to ask the worship team to please come. They're just going to play some music. And I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to maybe step out in faith, ask for a spiritual gift. Maybe you already have the spiritual gift and you want to be challenged. Maybe you want to learn how to apply that gift. Maybe you have a physical need. Maybe it's not even related to it. Whatever it may be, we're going to open this up to all of you and close out this service.